It's Channel 1 Over. Channel 1 Over in continuation of Visit with Ms. Davis. This Sunday night, the 21st of March, 1971, Channel 1 Over. Channel 1 Over in continuation of Visit with Ms. Davis. This Sunday night, the 21st of March, 1971. Channel 1 Over.
The way I always do.
We were just gonna have to go pretty soon anyway, because I still got that mare up there waiting to fall.
We're just talking about how hard it is to get people to help you.
Oh, they just don't want to.
And horses just have to be helped.
Well, I have another problem really that people don't realize. But being a woman, either they want to come in and be a sharpie and tell you what to do.
Yeah.
That I won't stand for. I make the decisions, and if it's a mistake, I take the blame. But they figure because you're a woman, you're a dumb bunny.
Yeah.
So that's another problem I run into. It's hard to find a man who wants to work and who can work with a woman.
Oh, yes, that would be.
Now, if I was a dumb person, I'd probably be easy to satisfy.
I'm
not.
You know what?
No, I've been an honor graduate all the way through, and I just, you don't get to be that way by not taking care of details, I'll tell you.
you know what you want in horses. You know what you want out there. That's a big operation.
Yeah, it is.
You've got $500,000 in those horses.
Well, see, we own a third of another stallion that I don't even stand there. And on a third of a set of bellows. So, that's the ones that are here.
Bill still with him?
No, Bill had to get drunk down to sales to show off, and he stole my shotgun, and I let him go.
What?
How long has that been?
Since January. You know, that's what happens, Mr. Miles. If you're a woman, they all think they can walk over you after you've been there a while.
Yeah. Oh, do they?
Oh, sure they do. I told him, he's low enough to steal my gun. Let me down and show off like that at the sale. When you got all those millionaires running around there looking at your horses, I said, just don't come back. Get your things and go. Because you don't go to but two sales a year to begin with. And that one down at Hialeah is a big sale, and it's a very crucial sale. And here he gets drunk down in the ring and gets right under this Groton colt, who's sort of high-strung anyway, and sits down drunk as a skunk. And
now, what is that?
I just figured he was going to get killed. That's all there was to it. I said, man, I could have killed him myself.
I just can't believe it. I can't believe it.
You mean out in public where they get
killed? Yes. See, they've got this big round pavilion down at Hialeah, and they've got a walking ring out and back, and your horses are all done up with the pom-poms and the numbers on the hip, and you always have one fella on him and then one fella rubbing him and making shine and all. He's supposed to be rubbing the horse, and he's so drunk he sits down right under his hind legs, and this horse will kick, and I just figured he's going to get his brains kicked out. And I looked at him, and I said something, and I saw how drunk he was. I was so mad, I just walked off. Oh, brother. I mean, it just embarrasses the farm, you know.
Sure it does.
You just make a nut out of it.
And they couldn't miss it.
No, not with about several hundred thousand people around there looking.
Because they knew whose horse it was.
Oh, yes, they all knew, and here's this drunk just sitting right under his hind feet. I was scared to death he was going to kick him in the head.
Well, of course.
And he was so drunk he didn't care. I was furious, just furious. Because when you go to those sales and you've got all these trainers coming up looking at your horses, you need to have a man with a good level head who can answer their questions and all. Mm-hmm. And here he is, all thick-tongued drunk. Oh, so mad.
Tell him to come in and say,
you replace?
Well,
I'll replace.
Yeah, I replace them.
Well, where do you find replacements?
Yes, how would you go about it?
The health situation in this business is so bad, I think they're all gypsies or something. They just go from farm to farm. Don't any of them have any class, Mr. Miles? You're working the scum, really.
Oh.
I mean, they don't have any idea of starting with a place and building up and staying with it. They'll stay here for a few months, and the grass is always greener. They're like migrant workers.
Oh, really?
So, oh, yeah, most of them are just terrible. So, I don't know. Health situation gets pretty bad.
Anybody I know?
It's Jim Suzanne.
Oh.
Jim Suzanne.
Come up and see if their radishes froze.
Oh, yeah. Now they're looking at his tomato plant.
Well, you know, let me tell you. When I came down here, one thing I saw, I could just raise anything out here because there was plenty of labor, spare labor.
You didn't know about those welfare checks, did you?
I'll tell you one thing. You can read about them in the paper and they don't mean a thing until you need somebody to help you.
That's right. So I had raised sweet potatoes, brought up on sweet potatoes in a way. I found out they grew around here, so I felt welcome. I just had sweet potatoes. That's before I had cattle. Well, George Mitchell got about 18 children over there. And at that time, he had a half a dozen. It was a good size, you know, potatoes. You got to drop them and stick them in. But if you got a big field, you can do it you can ride and do it. But I just had a couple acres. I started off modest. And I remember the first, I remember the thing that decided me. We were hoeing them. And this was George Mitchell's little girl. And she had come over here and spent an hour and said, Mr. Miles, you're going to have to take me over to the Sunday school convention.
That was the ending. Well, I've got colored health. I've got three men who I don't think I'm going to keep much longer because they think I took them to raise.
Yeah.
Well, first, it's about 9:30 the other night. I'm up at the barn. Here comes up the car. I said, Sammy, dark fellow, works for me. His little boy's got a bad cut. I said, why didn't you take him to the hospital? Oh, no, he's scared. Their eyes get like this, you know. So I'm up there doctoring that kid's cut, and I said, now you've got to have a tetanus shot running down to Ollie in the morning. That kid's probably helping there, probably yonder. So I doubt if he ever got one. So by gosh, it's Friday night. We're not up there with that mare. And about 11:30, I really get scared of all these people coming in here this time of night. Here's Sammy, another little girl, and she's got two of the worst looking cuts, deep cuts. I don't know why they weren't sewed up. Now, this kid went to school Friday, and she had to be limping. And yet the teacher, nobody noticed to get her a shot. And that foot was infected.
Yeah.
So there I am up there at about 1:30, soaking that darn foot and stuff like this. So I told Sammy, Saturday, I said, now, Sammy, I said, if you got any more troubles, I said, you come to him with me before 5 o'clock. I said, don't come up here anymore at nighttime like this, because I said, I just might shoot you with a shotgun. I said, I don't know who you are, and you got no business coming back on this place after dark. He says, I knew you'd take care of her, Miss Doc.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I knew you'd take care of her. I said, well, from now on, take care of all your hurts before 5 o'clock. Oh, Lord.
Well, you know,
and they don't come with just the one kid, you know, they come with a whole family to sit there and watch.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah.
Now, they don't live on your plate.
Oh, no.
But you do have them living on your plate.
No, I haven't.
You don't have any trailer.
You just have the overseer?
No, I've got I've only got the one trailer in my house. And Sue lives in the trailer. And I don't have anybody in the house right now. I'm going to go up and try to pick stuff up. But I don't have anyone. Because everybody I've had in there has been one siege of them after another with young kids, and they've just about mutilated the inside. So it's got to drop that and go up there and take it down. So I thought I'd just let it stay empty until I get it to it.
Look at
it. Well, you know, I was looking forward to talking to Bill. He had.
Well, if you can find him sober, be my guest, because he isn't working.
Well, he's not much fun unless he's working. He's. You know,
And when you talk to him, if you'll tie him down, I'd like to just bop him over the head a few times.
What was it Bill told us? We've only seen him once or twice, but one time, he came up here with music.
Yeah.
That's when we saw him.
That's the only
he
time
came up here to see.
There's no reason for that boy going to the gutter, but you know his wife divorced him.
Oh.
And he's gotten where I don't blame her now, because he got where he'd take that paycheck and head for John's, and she never got anything for the kids, for clothes or for food or anything, you know. So I don't blame her, and he'd been coming on. And I talked to him, but he's got a nice mother and stepfather and all. There's no reason for him to go to the gutter, except that I do think that's part of the problem, his mother's babies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's always getting him out of scrapes, and he's just going to have to roll with himself. So I figure he's going to go all the way to the bottom, and then he's either going to get up and pick himself up, or he's going to stay there.
So, well, you know, he talks like he owns the place.
Oh, I know that.
When he's sitting, you know, when he's out.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, he
I
takes
know.
Responsibility, you might say.
No, he doesn't take the responsibility except with his mouth.
But it was.
Yeah, I know.
But goodness, who you have to deal with.
Faith, so I know, he's so free. This was in one of the periods when he was out of work. Down at the Jiffy Mine. And he just sailed by. And he was sort of hollow-eyed, and you know he was sort of hollow-cheeked anyhow, wasn't he?
Sort of lanky.
And he says, this week I got $54 and something, driving a truck, and how can I raise a family on that?
All right, now, Mr. Miles, see, I've been through this with him. He worked for me, and he got the big head before.
Yeah.
So he came up to my father, and he said, Mr. Chappell, the fellows up at John's say you're not paying me what I'm worth. Well, you don't say something like that to my father, because he's the old generation, you know. So he looked him straight in the eye, and he said, Billy, could you go back and let the boys at John's tell you what they think you're worth?
And he meant it.
Yeah, he meant it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill knew he meant it. Because Bill was a little bit too tight to come up and say something like that to my father. You just don't pull that smart aleky stuff on him, because he's an attorney, and he'll just chop the limb right off behind it. So we let him go. And he couldn't get a job. I asked him, he was driving the truck. Well, every week he was back out there, can I please have my job back? Can I please have my job back? And I told him, I said, Bill, I said, you're a pain in the ass to work out here. I said, you won't be good 1 month before it'll be something else again. Oh, no, if you'll just let me come back, you know. But he just can't help it.
Uh-huh.
He just has got that peacock attitude. And he just, and after he's back a month or two, he wants to tell me how he thinks it ought to be. So we had already been having run-ins. So he'd done this at the October sale. I didn't say anything to him in front of people, and I didn't say anything in front of my father, but I waited till Daddy went back. And I told him, I said, when this farm is on display at a sale, I said, and I asked you to show a horse. Well, he didn't want to bring the horse out because he said the man didn't have the money to buy one. That's what he told me later. I looked at him, I said, he could be buying for someone else. Maybe someone sent him out here to see the horse. I said, you don't make the decision. I said, by God, if I ever tell you to bring a horse out and show it, I said, you better show it and not argue with me in front of people. Oh, I was mad. little stuff like that makes you look funny to the public, you know. So I'd already had enough of him trying to make the decisions. I figured if he couldn't even pay his own bills and all, I'd be bankrupt by listening to him.
But you know, I only saw Eddie one time when he came out here. But he looked so sturdy and reliable.
Yeah, I was hoping he was going to last.
Yes, I thought I was. I'm awful disappointed in that.
That's just getting too bad. Well, I keep seeing the light, and I don't know whether they're going back or
they're probably looking for Bubba.
Oh, yeah. But you just have to keep turning over and getting somebody else.
Well, I just haven't come across the right man, that's all.
And in your business, you've just got to have him.
Well, when I come across the right man, I think it'll last, but I just haven't hit the right one, that's all. So, I don't know. It's harder to find than you think.
Oh,
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Now, guy's got all this place around here. He doesn't need it, but it would be marvelous to have somebody to some young person could do something with it.
Mm.
But you don't find anything.
They
want to
own it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a lot of ifs, aren't there? Out there where I had that, that is still extra land. I don't have enough cows, you see. I don't want enough cows to pasture this whole thing. And I could fertilize that now.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting on. If you let me know when they're going to be over.
And get two or three, at least two good cuttings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you can cut it for hay or cut it for anything you want.
Yeah, for hay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found, I thought I didn't know this, and people have such hard and fast ideas, you know. They think of the hay is no good for hay. They
yeah, but it is.
Ought to be Pangola or something else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so
the hay is a very tender hay, actually.
Yeah.
It's softer and all, much softer than Pangola.
Yeah.
And a horse likes anything tender. It makes a beautiful hay.
Well.
Now you can't feed it exclusively because it doesn't have that much nutrient value. But like when you mix it the way I do, it's a beautiful hay.
Yeah.
Because time I mix it with a Timothy really doesn't have a great deal of food value in it either. But time you mix it with the alfalfa and the clover and the Timothy and that and some post cross Bermuda, you've got a pretty good variety. And they get a little something different, I think, out of each one of them. And I feed a lot of alfalfa pellets too. But they get a little something different. But they'll go straight to that bahia. They just love it.
I found out this, that you can't cure the, you can't leave that bahia on
mm-hmm.
the ground until it's cured.
Mm-mm.
If you do, time you bale it, it's
nothing there.
Yeah, it just blow away.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to rake it while it's fourth dry.
Well, I think the reason a lot of people say bahia is not good hay is because it's really not grown exclusively as a hay crop, and a lot of people don't think of it that way, and then a lot of people don't fertilize it.
Yeah.
But if it's fertilized, I think it's an excellent hay.
Well,
myself.
That stuff we
I'd rather
do.
Have
we
it than now it's clover.
Because it wasn't good.
It
wasn't good.
I've got it like down in my sowing stalls right now, some of it. But they'll nibble on it. See, that's what I'm talking about. I saved it. I saved it for these mares that are going to foam. And I've mixed it out in the fields with the hay, and with the other kind of hay.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all my backfield sales, see, to my bahia.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the man come in and get the seed and then baled it. And I think I made about enough off the seed to pay for the fertilizer. Because I got one check for 800 and something, and another check for 500 and something. So, yeah.
Over the seeds?
Mm-hmm. Listen, they pay quite a price. If you fertilize this and let them come up here and get that seed off that bahia, they want you to take your animals off after it starts growing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You fertilize it, boy, they pay pretty good for that stuff.
Yeah, I know
they do. I sure do. Now, I've got another check due in them. That third man is still holding that seed. So I don't know what for. But anyway, he called me the other day. Let him know he hadn't forgotten he owed me a check, you know.
And did you have many acres of it?
Just that back part all about up to that wet racetrack. Mm-hmm. That's all. It's not that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did inside the racetrack. That ring inside. You're up to that last pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much.
Mm-hmm.
But they got mine. Now, I didn't fertilize any of that very heavy. I just put very, very light application on that because I don't have any stock on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is seeded, and I just didn't want it to lose it. But now this year, I was planning on really fertilizing it and fertilizing that field up there where the hill was, and I thought I'd get a little bit more seed money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after they thresh it, get the seed, can you still cut it?
That's the time to go right in with a baler. Because if you go cut it right then, as soon as he gets that seed, and you'll get it, then you, after you bale that, then he'll grow up again. He can come and get seed again, particularly if you'll go back and throw like about 100 pounds to the acre, just a little extra boost.
Yeah.
And he can come get seed all over again, then you go behind him with that baler again.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm slowly learning.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm slowly learning. I may be a little slow, but I'll learn.
Well, you hadn't thought about pasture stuff.
No, I really hadn't. And I like for him to come in and get the seed and go bale a field. I like to switch the horses off because a horse wants a short tender grass. For cows, they'll eat all that high weedy stuff, but horses won't eat it.
No.
So, you see, I have to mow my damn fields all the time. Well, instead of mowing, I'd much rather... When I mow low anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than just plain mow them and let the stuff sit on the grass, if I had a baler, I could just come in there and bale that instead of just running that damn mower. Because there's no profit in running the mower the way I do. I could go on and get two or three cuttings off some of those fields. I have to keep them short for horses anyway. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it paid me to have somebody instead of let me put a boy on a mower. And then have the rake and the baler and just come do them when we mow a field and put that up. And then when it needs it again, put it on there. And the fields where I have horses, I'm not going to get seed for the man. But on those other fields, I would, and then bale it right behind them.
Well, I tell you what I did. I couldn't depend on any customer.
I'm giving up on that. John Cody says he's going to stop doing it because... he wasn't making any money in it, he said. Found me all he had all this expensive equipment stuff. And you can't get them when you want them. When you've got something ready, you can't get them to save
your life. You can't even get them close to when you want.
I know it. So, yet I can't afford all that equipment. You know, that's all there is to it. I'm going to have to see what I can pick up.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I did. I got an old baler. Oh, it was like a Model T. And he rebuilt it and charged me $500 for it. And it bales, but it still, it never has got not even one square bale.
But we don't care.
But
no,
I don't,
who cares?
And I told him I didn't care.
No, I don't care. I wouldn't care either.
I said, I'm not going into the business. I just want to...
Keep your field.
Yeah. And... if you can rig it up where I can, well, he keeps telling me, you know, that if I get my windrows a little fuller or straighter, it'll bale straight, but it's not in that old baler. Anyhow, I've still got it out here, and it runs fine.
Hmm.
It runs fine.
You have to let me borrow it from you.
It don't pay to borrow one.
Oh, is that it?
It's too much trouble.
Oh.
To get it and take it back for, you know, for what's in it.
Yeah.
And then you've got to have one there that you're used to.
Yeah, that's true too.
Or else you'd be, you know, you so little in it, you know.
Yeah, he can build you some hay over here.
Yeah. But now that was about my speech. See, I didn't want to pay $3,000, $4,000 for a
No, and that's what
I'm saying.
That
if you could get
I went down. I priced all this stuff new. Shoot, I can't. I've got to build barns. I don't have the money for that.
But
I sell a horse.
Buy a horse and build something.
But now that machine you were talking about would save you money.
Seed drill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll probably end up have to go get one of those. That's all we have to do.
And they are costing them.
It all is. Don't tell me. I mean.
The best I saw of a seed drill was this man out on Newberry Road. He used to handle cattle like mine. And then he bought them. Sold all the time. I had horses too, plug horses. And he put in this millet. And he put it in with a drill.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got the old solid cutter and hauled it out with the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fertilized in those drills. And that would just go forever.
Mm-hmm.
And now the way I tell it, you know, it sounds like a lot of work, but there wasn't any work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to take the stuff to the cows than it is to take the cows to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's hardly any waste.
Mm-hmm.
And, I looked with envy on his equipment out there.
Mm-hmm.
He had it all there.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out of business, and I didn't know it. I think I would have got a hold of some of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you have to find, somebody
yeah.
going out of business
yeah.
without selling some equipment,
yeah.
what you have to find.
But you know, one little field, 5 acres, 10 acres,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, you see how horses eat.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff would just save you no end. You know this rye?
Mm-hmm.
It just saves me. It takes me through the winter, keeps my cattle in good shape, and I was.
You leave them on it all winter?
Yeah, as soon as I can get it out.
2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
or less.
Or
mm-hmm.
every other day.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem. You got to take them in and out.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is no great trouble. You don't have batches. And I'd pay out so much on protein.
Mm-hmm.
Run for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is better than protein.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find handling, or you don't handle the cattle very much, but do you?
My bull didn't do anything with it anyway.
Yeah.
He'll follow you anyway. And then the cows follow him.
Yeah.
When we want to move him from one field to another, we just get a big bucket of food, and then I think Bimbo would follow you a country mile. He's real gentle. Now, we made a pet out of him when he was little.
Mm-hmm. But there's just such a difference in handling cattle and handling horses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, I think you all did hit it lucky when you bought that old van.
Oh, I do too. I know I did.
You just haul anything in that, can't
mm-hmm.
you? If you want to go to town and get a little batch of lumber, you don't have to worry about something sticking out your back of your car.
That's as big as a house.
And put horses in it?
Oh, I just drive my tractors up in there when I got taken to the stop.
Drive your tractors up
and
there?
Let that back end down. I get there and roll them off.
Well, that was a stroke of genius when you all got that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And it holds up.
My father didn't like the way it looked before I painted it. I tell him he's too city-fied.
He comes up every once in a while.
He fires me every week.
Every week.
How did you?
He's an amazing character. He has yet to concede that I own half of it. Oh, he goes about like telling me things ought to be done like I don't own a damn smidgen of it, you know.
Oh.
So every now and then I have to remind him.
That you are.
Yeah.
How did you ever get into this?
Oh, I've been around horses all my life. I don't know. I got mad. I learned that, for one thing, I've got a master's degree and part of all those hours on a PhD, and I studied all that genetics. And I came up here with him one time after I had all those operations, and he was telling that farm manager what mare to breed to what. And I got real mad. I said, you're doing it all wrong. So I learned that Varroa system, the dosic system of breeding, and it's complicated. There's no doubt about it. It took me about 2 years to really learn it. And so my husband bought me a racehorse. Well, I got so blue after I had that bad operation for cancer. So I got to where every time that horse would be running in a race in New York, I'd do this Varroa work on all the horses in the race. So I'll never forget this as long as I live. He was a two-year-old in New York, and about September he was running for 11,500 claims. And I got the racing form, and I did all the horses in the race. So I called down to the office, and I got Johnny first, my husband. And I said, Johnny, you and Daddy claim a horse today. I said, his name's Ambroid, and he's a maiden. I said, he'll win the Belmont next year. So then I talked to Daddy, and he said, yeah, he'd look him up. Well, he came by the house after, on his way home from the office. I lived before where they did. And he said, I'll never forget as long as I live. He came in, he fixed himself a drink. And I stayed in bed, you know, for months. I had all those tubes draining and everything. He came back there and he said, now, I realize you're sick. And he said, I realize you're taking those pain pills. But he said, you just talk like a goddamn fool. He said, you don't call people and tell them to claim a horse that you've never even seen and say he's going to win the Belmont next year. And I said, but Daddy, if there's anything to this system, he will.
System of that, he said. I've been breeding horses for 25 years and I never heard of any system like this.
So they made me so mad that none of them would listen to me. I went on to pick out a bunch of horses that got to be good. This horse won the Belmont next year, by the way. And I picked out about 10 other stake horses. And I tried to get them to buy it before they got good and where you could have afforded them,
yeah.
You know. So finally I got mad. My great-grandmother died and left me her estate. And I just bought in. I said, hell with them. I'll breed my own. So and I made him sell one stud, and I thought he was going to go through the ceiling. I told him that stud would never have anything. Never.
That's your father.
Anything. Mm-hmm. So we have fussed and fussed and fussed for 3 years. But in just this shorter time, I've put Ways and Means on a leading sale list for 2 years, and I've had over $300,000 worth of winners. So he's getting where he fusses less and less, but he still fusses. Oh, he still fusses.
Oh, that's interesting. That's mm-hmm. the way you...
But see, I not only work in the daytime, I go home and do all that work at night. I do that to Hobo and a bunch of these other farms.
Oh, you do?
I have to take every mare and do about a 7-generation pedigree on it, and then figure out this dosage work, and then find a stud she matches to. So I do that for a lot of these farms. So I get $25 a mare and $100 a stud for doing that stuff. So Hobo's got about 300 mares. They can keep you busy all year round.
Well, yes, so. You could just do that and nothing else.
Yeah, so I do all that at night, too. And that's what I'm talking about. I work harder than anybody out there. That's why I get so damn mad when you ask them to do one little thing extra and they don't do anything.
Oh, well,
I got a mare who's going to foal some year.
Some year.
How much overdue is she anyway? What is today, the 21st?
Yeah, the first day of spring.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. She's been due since the ninth.
Well, isn't that unusual?
Well, the first one. No, they can go 3 weeks either way. She's not quite 3 weeks. She'll probably go all this week.
Well, you don't sit up with her.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do.
Do you really?
Yes, I paid $10,000 for this mare alone, and I've got a $2,500 stud fee on what she's carrying. I certainly do.
A $2,500 stud fee
You want me to go sit up with you?
I'll be right there. I'll tell you that.
You go sit up with her, babe.
Well, I was thinking I better go sit up with you.
Yes, sir. I'll sit up with her until she falls. Don't worry.
I don't wait. Listen, I sure did enjoy it. Don't come over and see me. If you want to break that mare now, let me know.
This is to visit Ms. Davis this Sunday night, the 21st of March, 1971, Channel 1 over, all around 600, Channel 1 over around 600, Channel 1 over around 600, 400, 500. There's no telling what it is. I didn't turn it there. It's a little past the middle of the reel. The end of the visit from Miss Davis from the horse ranch, horse farm, this Sunday night, 21st of March, 1971.
Huh? Thank you.